open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, please. Chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. For some reason, the Lord always makes me preach a message I've never dealt with in this meeting. I don't know if it's punishment or what it is, but he always makes me dig out something. And this is very elementary tonight, but it's a great need. And I'll only read one verse in verse number 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want to preach tonight, God being my helper, on how to survive Babylon. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the privilege you've given us to gather together tonight as we have. Thank you, Lord, for the good fellowship around the physical food. I pray your blessings, Lord, to be upon those who prepared and provided. I thank you, Lord, for these who have come together tonight. Lord, we've come for one purpose, and that's to hear from you, to get help, God, in these days. Thank you for the privilege to be able to do so. Thank you, God, tonight that you are God, and besides thee, there's none else. You're wonderful and marvelous and great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, God, that I'm in your family. Lord, I could have been headed to hell tonight, but I'm not. For the simple fact that you showed and had mercy on me. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being saved by the grace of God. Thank you not only for the privilege to be in the family, but the privilege to be in your field. And then for the privilege of being among this fellowship of men. God, would you say a word to us tonight? Would you please empower what's being said? Bless Brother Joe. Lord, I love him tonight. Thank you, Lord, for him, and I pray you would touch him and help him and bless him in a great way. Now help us, Lord, and for whatever you do, you will get the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. As I began to meditate upon this chapter here, and of course this is one of the chapters that everyone knows about basically that's had any spiritual schooling at all. It's taught in the Sunday school class. We've used it on the flannel graph board, and we've used it time and time again. A lot of youth groups will take this as their springboard. How that Daniel as a young man purposes in his heart that he's going to love God. And by the time that he gets to chapter 6, from a teenager in chapter 1 till he's up in his mid-80s pushing 90, God proves that it pays to love him. And as I began to think about it, I see here that there's a den of lions waiting for this dear saint of God. But this saint of God's not afraid of the den of lions because he believes in the Lion of Judah. And he knows there's a bigger lion than those in that den. Now I'm glad that that same God that took care of him, it's the same God that'll take care of us. I say hallelujah. Now I want to say that I know that we are not living in Babylon, but I do want you to know there's a lot of Babylonian atmosphere that's in the ruling system today. I realize that we're just not 700 miles away from home, as Daniel was. But I do know we're further than we've ever been from the things of God in this country. And I do want you to know that, and I personally believe that the reason we have gotten in the shape that we're in America, I was watching today as they were burning that American flag and the star flag of David, as they brought them together and burned them with fire. My blood, I don't know about you, but I'm a red-blooded American. That just really aggravates the stew out of me. And I don't enjoy it, and I don't like it. But I want to tell you, in the spite of what's going on, there's a place that we can get that allow us to survive this situation that we're in. Matter of fact, in verse number 1, I see that Darius now has come to the throne, and he set over the kingdom 120 princes. That's over the 120 province there. And then in verse number 2, I see that over the 120 princes, he sets 3 presidents. I thought, my Lord, one's enough to cause you to pull your hair out. And he sets over 3 presidents, and he makes Daniel the president of the presidents. He's the first. And the reason that he is that there's been an excellent spirit found in him. Praise God. He didn't get that spirit from Babylon. He got that spirit that came from another country. That spirit came. And when Daniel came and was carried captivity, he didn't leave his spirit. He brought it with him. And when he brought it with him, it raised him to a place of prominence. And it raised him to a place where that God could use him in that area of politics. And how we need that today. Oh, my Lord. Then I see that Daniel, of course, was preferred above the presidents in verse 3. And that never does go well. And you can read on down from verse 4 through verse 9. They have now come together. And the Bible says in verse 7, down in the middle of the verse, that they have consulted together to establish a decree. The only thing wrong with that is they didn't contact Daniel. And Daniel's the number one man. So we see there is such a way of bypassing the number one man. And here we find that they did not consult with Daniel, but they had this decree was signed that was against Daniel. And they said, if any man is found praying in the name of a God that's not Babylonius, then we'll have him thrown into a den of lions and had the seal of the king put on it. And I find now, as I come to the, you know, I thought about this, that excellent spirit that was in Daniel was a crime to the eyes of the others. Can I say that's fastly becoming prevalent in our day? If you've got the Spirit of God in you and the Holy Ghost abides in you, this world hates you. And this worldly system hates you. Is that not right? Men, whether we're saved, if you're saved, or whether you're not saved, we're still under this governmental rule. That's exactly right. But I do want you to know that there's a God that's in even above that. Amen. Daniel didn't even flinch when he heard that the writing had been signed. I don't believe that he started biting off his nails and wondered what he's going to do. I believe this old 85-year-old man, it didn't even bother him. He just goes into where he had been since he was a teenager. And he opened, and those windows opened toward Jerusalem. And he prays to his God. I say hallelujah for the privilege and the avenue of prayer that you and I have available to us. All across the land today, they're trying to figure out how to fix it. And me and you know how it is to get done. And it's God that's going to do it if it gets done. We need to understand that. Somebody said, preacher, but we know that. Yeah, but we've forgotten about it. We're trying everything. We're moving in every direction. But I'm telling you, there's only one place we can go. And I see old Daniel as those bony knees hit the floor. And he just cried out to God. And God heard his prayer. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, we've got to get to God in these days. I was going to use this at the end, but the Lord said, put it right here. I've never preached this, so I don't know how I'm supposed to preach it. But I'm just simply saying, in Psalm chapter 42, David there, or it could have been, may not have been David, could have been Hezekiah. We don't know who wrote it. But he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. And then he identifies that God, the living God. Hallelujah. He said, my soul ain't just a thirsting after any God, but it's the one that's alive. It's the living God. Here's what God's been working in my heart. Brother Kenny, I mentioned this week there in the meeting. Here's what God's been working in my heart. I see that heart, that female deer. And oh, it doesn't say that the hounds have been after it. It doesn't say that we could say that they were, but it doesn't say they were. It just seems to me as I see her sides heaving, her nostrils is flared. And you know, she's outrun her protection. And she's just about gone. She's just about worn out. She's just about give out. Now I want you to listen carefully here. You see, it's what she's been doing that's got her in the shape she's in. Listen carefully. It's what she's been doing. She's been going and going and going and going. And that's what's got her in the shape she's in. You know, all across the land, we're trying to get our people to do and to do and to go and to do and stay busy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's what got this little deer in the mess she was in. She was going and going and going. And she's operating now out of overflow. But oh, overflow is what got her in trouble. Now she's going to have some intake if she's going to survive. She's going to have to stop and get something on the inside. You can't get what you need on the inside on the run. There's got to be a stopping and an intake. And I want to say the two intakes is water and air. She said, I'm painting and I'm thirsting. And if you don't get both of those soon, you'll die. Oh, you'll die slowly without water. And you'll die quickly without air. But I'm telling you, friend, in these days, the reason that we're getting in the shape we're in is that we're operating out of the overflow. And it's about worn us out. There's going to have to be a place and a time where we can stop and intake again. Are you listening to me, men? This is the ugliest crowd I ever preached to. But hey, are you listening to me? Listen to me. We're going and going and going. And we say, boy, we're doing good. And I'm preaching to me now. I'm telling you, if we're going to get any help in our churches, and if we're going to get any help among our families, and if we're going to get any help to raise our children and to be the right kind of husband and daddy and citizen and Christian we need to be, we're going to have to stop and intake. Oh, Lord. Boy, that's been working in my soul. Our problem is that we've outrun everything available and we got to stop and get it. See, the TV evangelist will tell you that this is the deeper life movement. That's not the deeper life. Water and air's necessity. Did you hear what I'm saying? That's not the deeper life. I tell you, we got to have it if we're going to continue on. And I'm telling you, when we realize the writing is signed, and we do realize it, the writing is signed, we better get on our knees and get some intake, or the lions are going to get us. Now, I'm not fussing now, I'm just preaching. Notice, we find here this law now has been passed. Daniel wasn't consulted. But I see when Daniel heard, oh, I love this. Verse number 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, notice, now there's five things in this little verse that Daniel had that belonged to him. And the thing of it is, the same five things belong to us. You find that word, his, five times in verse 10. Notice, and this is very important, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. His house. Somebody said, boy, isn't that amazing? Oh, it sure is. When he knew that they were going to throw him into the den of lions, he went home. Praise God, he had a house. Every one of us has got one. What are we using it for? We've got a house. We've got a house. Outside Daniel's house is the Babylonian Empire. But inside Daniel's house, the Lord of glory rules and reigns. Outside, everything is gone, but inside, there's still one that's on the throne. Somebody said, but he's still on the throne, whether you're in the house or out. Yeah, but you won't ever realize it till you get home and you realize that God has given you a house. And if you're saved by the grace of God, he's given you that not to give to the world, not to lend to the world, not to raise your children for the world. He's given you a house because in that house, there is the rulership of the Holy Ghost of God. Are you listening? Listen, I find Daniel, what a resume this fella had. He was a statesman. Boy, there's not many of those left. He was an expert politician. All we know is about those who say they are. But Daniel is. God's blessed him. God's helped him. If you were an employer, you could have employed Daniel, and he would have done you a good job in any area because he had an excellent spirit in him. But I'm not interested in what he could do. I'm interested in what he did here in his house. I'm not interested in all that he did out in the courts. That's not what got him through the den of lions. All that he could manipulate and maneuver on the outside is not what allowed him to survive Babylon, but what he did in his house. What he did in his house is what got him through. Are you listening? Somebody said, boy, I tell you, if we could just all get together. Well, we're together tonight, but that's one time a year. And we can't all get together all the time, but we can all go home. Hallelujah. We can all go home. We can all go to our house. Now, Daniel's house, I thought about this. Daniel's home was Jerusalem. But he had a house in Babylon. We'll not spend a whole lot of time on when he got this house, because we don't know. But the simple fact is that he had one. And it ain't wrong to have a house in Babylon. Daniel had one. Well, that won't go over good in some places. But there's nothing wrong with having a place that's yours. This house belonged to Daniel. And Daniel, and everything was going wrong, he went home. He was a long ways from home, but he had a house. Well, me and you, a long way from home, but we got a house. And we'll get to it in a minute, but his window was open toward home. Oh, Lord. Hey, we got a house. God's blessed us with a house. But we're not here forever. We're going home again. And we need our windows open toward home. I see here, you know, at home, I entitled that his possession. He could do in his house as he desired. No other house in Babylon was like this house. All of them other Babylonian gods was lined the walls of the other homes. They wasn't none of them allowed in Daniel's house. Praise God, are y'all getting any of this at all? Hey, are you interested in surviving Babylon? If you are, we have the antidote right here. I see here that there's some things that are to take place down at your house. You know what's killing pastors? They're trying to stir up things up here at this house that ain't going on down at yours. They're trying to get a fire started at the house of God when it went out down at your house. You listening? Somebody said, well, give me something about the house in the New Testament. Okay. Over in the New Testament, it was loaded with synagogues. That early church never went to none of them. They went from house to house, to house to house, to house. All through the book of Acts, all through the Pauline epistles, God's interested in the house. And the reason that it is, it's not going to happen anymore at God's house than it does down at your house. I ain't fussing, I'm telling you, I'm just preaching. I'm trying to say there's preachers pulling their hair out, resigning. There's preachers that's quitting. There's preachers that's messing up. And I'm not condoning any of that. But I'm telling you, they want to see the fire burn at the house of God. And it ain't going to burn just one time a week. You can't get a fire started just on Sunday. But praise God, if it's been a burning down at your house, you can bring some coals from down at your house and bring them into God's house, and God can do a word for us. Amen. Now, we'll holler and shout and say amen, but there ain't none of us wanting none of these. But if we want to survive Babylon, we need to understand where we are. in the time frame of this day, I want to tell you, I don't want to recant. I don't want to procrastinate, Brother Robert. I don't want to bring a shame and reproach on the name of my Savior. I want to try to end right. I'm not really much interested in how you started and what all you've done. I want to know how we're going to finish. How we going to end up? Men that's known more about this book and about God than I'll ever know is on the shelf tonight, or should be. Amen. God's put them there. And I'm trying to say, I do not want to do that. And as the days progress, we better have a place like Daniel had down at the house if we're going to survive Babylon. There are secrets down at your house to us. But God has no secrets, or you have none that's hid from God. Daniel's house, what he did at home, was why he was so successful. Wasn't what he did out of the house, is what he did in the house. Please get that. All we know is what goes on out of the house. But why Daniel was so successful is what went on in his house. Oh, boy. Please, Holy Ghost. Daddies, let me ask you a question. Them boys sat beside you, and those daughters that's not here, and that wife. Does everybody in your house know that it's run by God? Notice with me, please, in verse 10, and I'm going to move right along. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows. Something else he had here. He had a house, and he had windows in that house. Somebody said, well, preacher, that doesn't mean anything. Well, it must. We would think, well, if he had a house, he had windows, so that wouldn't have to be there. But it's there to let us know he had windows in his house. House with no windows will smother you to death. He had windows in his house. And the windows were opened. Being opened. What does that mean? Already being opened. When he heard the decree was signed, he didn't have to go and get WD-40 and a crowbar. And somehow or another try to get those windows open. That's what happened. That's what we do. That's what we do. When chaos hits our family, and when tragedy hits us, and when the Babylonian spirit comes down on us, we try to get a crowbar and get those windows open. But not Daniel. His was already open. I like to think of it like this. They were stuck wide open. Hey, he didn't have to get them open. They were already opened. And if his house speaks of his possession, his windows speaks of his possibilities. And the windows were not shut. Now the windows in that day were not glass windows that we would know. They were more like lattice. But if he had them shut, he couldn't see. The thing of it is, when you got windows open, you can see out. But others can see in. Somebody said, well, you're supposed to have a secret place of prayer. Well, you do. But But here's the key. Most of us has got a secret one so we can find out nobody knows that we're not going to it. Isn't it amazing that when those other presidents wanted to catch Daniel, you know how they knew where to find him? They knew where his place of prayer was. And they knew that it was toward another homeland. And they knew that their Babylonian power and their laws and decrees wouldn't stop Daniel from praying, because he's the citizen of another country. He's awaiting to get to go home. And I believe he's got his windows open toward home, because Jeremiah said after 70 years, you're going to get to come back. He's awaiting to go home. That's why his windows is open. Windows. Windows is where you get your wisdom from. We got a couple of open windows. One's an old one and one's a new one. And it's right in here. And you can see some stuff that nobody else can see when you get to the windows. See, when your windows are closed, whatever climate's going on, fog your windows up. But if you got them open, it doesn't matter what's going on. There ain't no foggy windows when there ain't no windows. When they're open, you've always got a clear view about what's going on. Listen, listen. Do you know why that this political world looks at us and they don't understand what makes us tick? And we look at them and know that what they're doing is not going to work. Somebody said, well, how do we know more? We got windows. We can see further than they can. You don't have to have some kind of diploma to know that what's going on is not going to work. Because we've looked out the window, we've looked toward home, and we've seen another that's seated on the throne. And that's our God, hallelujah, and a sign through my window. Windows, of course, we're going to see in a moment, they were in Daniel's chamber. They were at the highest point of his house. Up on resurrection territory. He's looking and he's praying. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Windows is where your wishes, and not only your wisdom, but your wishes are. He's gazing way over yonder. Oh no, it's too far to see with a natural eye. But he knows there's another homeland over there. He got the spirit from that homeland in his soul. Oh, listen. I see here, we find that through those windows. You know, windows plays an important part in Scripture. Rahab will let you know the windows get you out of tight spots. There's deliverance through the windows. Noah's glad for one. Look up while the storm's raging. Notice, I find here, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, notice, in his chamber. His chamber. Now, didn't have time to deal with all of this and run all of this down. But I'm finding seemingly that chamber does really represent resurrection ground. You remember when that Shulamite woman had Elisha a chamber fixed. And when her boy died, she took him to that chamber and laid him on the man of God's bed. And guess what? He got up. If you'll study in Acts chapter 9, Tabitha died and was in an upper chamber. And Peter comes through and she gets up. Acts chapter 20, Eutychus was sitting in that third loft, and it said that there were many lights in the upper chamber. And he fell out and died, but he didn't stay dead long. And he came back to the chamber. What are you saying? I'm saying the chamber means there's something more here than what this world has to offer. There's something greater here. There's another life. There's a new life. There's new power. That's what we got to have. We've been so influenced by this world that it's knocked us down. But there's a chamber. Daniel had a chamber with windows in it in his house. Praise God. You see, I find here that decree had been signed. As I said a while ago, I don't think that scared him to death. I don't even think he thought about it. Didn't even bother him. You know, listen carefully. The reason what's going on today is so bothering us and shaking us to our soul. Oh, I hear it all the time. Boy, if things don't change, we're sunk. Get to your chamber. That's the upper room. Hard to sink there. I see his chamber speaks of his privacy. But then let me notice here. And when the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. His knees speaks of his position. He kneeled on his knees. Somebody said, well, preacher, that's the strangest thing. The only way you can kneel is on his knees. We would have known that. There's a purpose for it. Because it's stuck right here in the Bible. Lets me know that Daniel, being 85, 88 years old, still had a good pair of knees. If he'd have lived in America at 65, he'd have had him some new ones. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But here's an amazing thing. Here's what the Holy Ghost spoke to me about. The reason that he could still fall on them knees, he had been exercising them correctly all of his life. He had been taking the right kind of medicine to keep his knee joints lubricated. And he couldn't get it from the Babylonian druggist come from the other world. He fell? Well, let me rephrase that. Let's say what the Bible says. He kneeled upon his knees. Didn't say he fell on his knees. If it had said he had fallen on his knees, we'd sent some urgency there. Daniel's not afraid. He's not scared. He's not shook up. The writing of that decree hadn't messed with his mind. He just goes back to the chamber, kneels down again. You know what I thought, Brother Baker? All of the pens in the king's courts doing all of their scribbling, but they're all silenced when two old bony knees hit the floor. Oh, Lord. Oh, I wish the Holy Ghost would help give me the vocabulary to tell you what's in my heart. We're in a mess in this country, but a lot of it can be silenced if the church would get back on their knees. Men, we got to get back on our knees. I want you to listen carefully. I know that you don't have to be on your knees to pray. I know that. I understand there's some physically cannot do that. And I know it's the condition of the heart and the position of the heart. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm 60 years old now and I can still get down on my knees. Can I tell you something? I can't hardly get into the throne room until I do. Now, if I'm driving or something of that nature, the Lord lets me pray. But if I am where I can get on my knees, I've got to get there. I heard a preacher say, preach not long back, a man by the name of, his last name was McMasters. And he was a basketball star from up in the Winston-Salem area. And he played in high school all there, and he was very well known back years ago. And his mama came to every game, and she was blind. And one day they asked her, said, Why? Do you go to those games when you can't see him play? She said, I can't see him. And I can't see him, but he can see me. And I want to tell you, when we get on our knees, somebody said, well, it don't make me see him anymore. Well, I kind of disagree with that. But I want to tell you, he sure can see you. Hey, he understands that humility. He understands that bowing before him. He sees you. He sees you. Woo! You know what I believe would get help coming in this direction? It's if there would be enough men in their house, in their chamber, with their windows open toward Jerusalem, on their knees. If God could see us there, what a difference it would make. I believe I'm preaching right tonight. Oh, Joe. Oh, we travel across this country. We're such a sad shape. We're in such a mess. Our churches is dying by the dozens weekly. Dying. And we're doing everything that we can to try to resurrect it without getting to the ground of resurrection. Boy, isn't that the truth? I'm not fussing now, I'm just preaching. This is what God told me to give. I can assure you this, the devil ain't liking none of it. I can sense that. But if there's going to be any help and any survival of the churches and our families in the, hey, listen, I don't even want to bring this up, but the Holy Ghost has brought it to mind and said, say it. I really believe we can blame everything we want to, but the reason we're losing our families and our children and our homes is coming apart is that we've left the chamber. Oh, God. Oh, God. See, somebody said, well, I'm going to tell you, preacher, what you're preaching here seems like it's a whole lot of work involved, a lot of time consumed. Well, it beats being the meal of an old lion. I believe that's right. It beats being the meal of a lion. And the devil's on the prowl. And he wants to take us down, and he'd love to devour us all. But you know what the Bible says, and a lot of us miss this. Satan is a roaring lion. We need to be sober and be vigilant. For the devil is a roaring lion. Our adversary is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Somebody said he can get us all. He's looking for those that he can. And there's one thing for sure, it's going to be hard for him to climb up into that upper chamber. Especially with your windows open. Because you know what Satan knows? He's a lion, but there's another lion out there looking in. And he don't want to tangle with him. He's already lost to him. And when your windows is open, there's another lion looking in too. Listen. I see he had a house. This had to do with his possession as his house. And then I see his windows. This had to do with his possibilities and hope. Then he had a chamber. This had to do with his privacy and reveals his heart. And he had knees. This had to do with his position and revealed his humility. And his honesty. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. I got his pause right here. I missed this. And prayed and gave thanks. That don't sound to me like somebody scared to death. Oh, God, do you see Dennis? He just said, oh, God, I thank you that you do. Oh, God, did you know about that decree? Lord, I just want to thank you that I know you do. Oh, God, don't you know there's a den of lions waiting for me? No, he gave thanks. Man, that's amazing, Brother Alfred. That is absolutely amazing to me. Here's a man that is literally, it's signed that he's going to die. And he goes to his chamber and starts thanking God. I can see him now. Lord, I want to thank you for being so good to me. Oh, God, thank you for the promise that we have in the Bible. Thank you for the promise that you are coming for us. We're going home before long. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that's always been sufficient. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said, man, I don't know if I could do that. If you'd been there all them years like Daniel had, you could do that. Then the Bible said, gave thanks before his God. As he did aforetime. I don't think Darius is even in the equation here. He's not even mentioned. You study them old prophets and the prayers that they prayed when they were in that real dire need. Look at Nehemiah. Man, he's in a mess, but he spends all his time thanking God for his goodness, praying, confessing the sins of his people. You study them prayers. They wasn't all concerned about all everything that's going on. They just started praising God for who he was. So I say, well, it wasn't as bad as it is now. Oh boy. It's always been bad. For the child of God. I'm gonna tell you this, this world's not only anti-Christ, it's anti-Christian. And it's beginning to come to the surface. I want to survive right. And he gave thanks to his God. I see his God, this is his potential. That's his help. His only help is God. He's going to the den of lions. Just because his God is his God, didn't keep him out of the den of the lions. Kept the lions in the den out of him. The three Hebrew boys, their God didn't keep them from the fiery furnace. Kept the fiery furnace out of them. Boy, I hope you get that. I thought about those knees. This is a day of knee replacement. Me and Brother Joe was talking the other day, and I just mentioned, I said, and I was kind of studying on this, and I said, this is a day of knee replacement. There's a real message on what's replaced your knees. What modern things replaced our knees? Then I see he prayed to his God. I love that. His God is my God. As I said a while ago, his God, no other God's allowed where his God is. His God. See, it's hard for God to stay around any other God. He's not going to. Remember they took that ark into Dagon, and God said, me and you can't hang together. Amen. So he laid him out. They come, stood him back up, and in the morning when they come in, they didn't have nothing to stand him up on. So a God that you can take his legs off, you wouldn't need him no way. What a God. Daniel, the great man that you was and all that you could have done, how did you survive the den of lions, Daniel? Tell us, Daniel, how in the world did you ever make it in that arena, in that climb? How'd you ever do it, Daniel? What strings did you pull? How did you get it done? What Facebook? How did you get on all of that and get it all taken care of, Daniel? Who'd you get on your side? He said, I just went home. That's just about too simple to preach. But oh, I'm telling you. Who all did you get on your side, Daniel? You just went home. Done as I'd always done. God saw me through. May God put this in our heart. I'm begging God. Put this. I've had to deal with it for 3 days now. And it's about to eat me alive. I hope God will put this in our heart. Let's stand, Father.